With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road. Riding with you in the sunnier.
It's time to name the neglect from typical food advice. Welcome to the Find Your Food Voice podcast, hosted by me, Julie Duffy Dillon. I'm a registered dietitian with 20 years of experience partnering with folks just like you on their food peace journey. What have we learned? Well, cookie cutter approaches exclude too many people, and you don't need to be fixed. It's not you. It's not me. It's all of us. Only together we can start a movement and fix diet culture. And we will. Let's begin with now.
I want to see how the world turns round. Let's go adventure in the deep blue sea. Home is with you wherever that may be. Home is with you wherever that.
Hi there, welcome to episode 319 of Find Your Food Voice. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and partner on your food peace journey. I am so glad you're here for this week's episode, and this is a meditation episode. As I begin this episode, I want you to consider a few different times that are times of change. Leaving home for the first time, getting married, getting divorced, having a baby, losing a parent, getting a new job, getting fired from a job you've had forever, losing a friendship. Those are all big changes. Lots of different types of feels that are going on during these changes. And it may surprise you, but these are the life events that I have found to be the biggest triggers, the biggest like life event to push someone into the place where they're experiencing a life-threatening eating disorder. This also is a time for folks when we peel back the layers with their relationship with food and trying to rewire and repair their own food voice. These are the life events that diet culture really liked to connect to the person. And they make a good sell because doubt, fear, panic, joy, disconnection, they all kick in during transitions in life. Because of these intense feelings, I have noticed this to be a time to be aware that your food voice may be shaky. Have you heard the quote, find your voice, then listen to it, even when it shakes, especially then? This is a quote that is like a reworded version that was originally from Maggie Kuhn. That's the earliest person I could find with this kind of quote. I could be wrong. Let me know. So the quote again is, find your voice, then listen to it, even when it shakes, especially then. Connecting to and finding your food voice is important for all of us because it helps us to have the relationship with food that best serves us and helps us to feel at home in our body. Wherever we are in life, and no matter how much power we have in life. And this meditation today is for those times when your voice starts to shake because of the changes ahead. Before we get to this episode and the meditation, a quick word from our sponsors. This episode of Find Your Food Voice is brought to you by my Decoding and Demystifying PCO Carb Cravings webinar. I wish you weren't taught to be ashamed of your PCOS carb cravings. You aren't weak for having them. You aren't gluttonous for eating in response to them either. You aren't doing it wrong. I wish you were taught these carb cravings are insightful. I have noticed there are two different types of PCOS carb cravings that give amazing, distinct intel. I wish you were taught from the get-go that both are to be trusted. Are PCOS carb cravings annoying as fuck? You bet. Should they be ignored or tricked? No way. Let's fix this. I'm putting together a mini training on PCOS carb cravings. It's a bite-sized lesson to help you move from chaotic with cravings to decoding their wisdom. You'll also learn the two different types of PCOS cravings and what they are telling you about your current PCOS symptom management. At this free webinar, you also get a peek into PCOS power. It's an open house tour of all that is included: the learning modules, the community, the workbook, the discounted dispensary, and so much more. And remember, it's free. So if you are interested, go to bit.ly/PCOS carb cravings. Again, it's bit.ly/PCOS carb cravings, and you will get to all the information and a place to sign up.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out: Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Diet culture has conned us into believing that going on a diet or getting a new gym membership is very supportive during change. I can't remember the amount of times folks have told me when they've gone through these types of changes that this is what they yearned for or what they sought out, and they were encouraged to do that. I can't remember the amount of times too, even in like movies, I've seen this. It seems almost to be like a cliche that if you're going through some kind of change, going on a diet or joining a gym, that is support. And I can appreciate why this has stuck. During changes in my own life, and I wonder if this is true for you too, I seek improved consistency. Now, I don't know if that sentence means anything to you. It kind of sounds weird to say out loud, but I think about when life is bringing about some bumps in the road, again, whether they're positive or negative, I have sought out a routine that has been a sort of glow up, drama free yet looking good. And it's something I've also noticed folks that I've worked with over the years yearning for too. But why look good or better? I really think it comes down to change dings up against grief. Again, whether it's positive or negative. There's a quote that has so much meaning in my life, and I have mentioned it a few times on this podcast before, and I have just meditated on it myself when I'm gone through change. And it's a quote by Anatole France. And as I say this name, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, especially the first name. So this is the quote, though. All changes, even the most longed for, have their melancholy. For what we leave behind us is a part of ourselves. We must die to one life before we can enter another. I think it's just so captures what I'm trying to communicate to you, listener, that no matter what the change is, again, it can be something fucking fantastic. Any change is leaving a part of ourselves behind. It's a death before we can grow. Before we can go to that next space, whether it's positive or just the next place, we have to die from our old life. And there's three different kind of categories of change and things that I would encourage you to be aware of happening with diet culture and then what to do instead. And I'm just kind of guessing based on, again, the last 20 years, really just sitting in the weeds of our relationship with food and what helped folks to reconnect with their own food voice. And so I'm going to put together just a couple recommendations. And I would encourage you, even if you don't resonate with the type of change that I'm going to describe, because there's three different types that I'm going to talk about, I would still listen to the suggestion because I may not have landed quite right for you in the spot that you would identify as the change, but you may want to pull from another spot. I hope that makes sense. Okay. So the first change that I'm thinking about in this meditation is when the change you're experiencing is exciting. When the change you're experiencing is exciting, this could be getting ready for your wedding, or after a new baby is born, or a new job. These are the times that many folks, in order to have that routine with a glow up, I have noticed that that's a time where diet culture will pull you to check your weight or pull you to weigh yourself frequently. Diet culture may also pull you to just, and the just is important here, just eat healthier or just count calories or count macros or log what I'm eating into an app. These are all behaviors that I noticed folks really getting kind of like a magnetic pull to do as they are preparing for or in the middle of a very exciting change, like something that they have longed so much for. And this is what diet culture will do. Instead of, you know, just eating healthier or counting something that you're eating, logging something you're eating, or weighing yourself, seriously, weighing yourself at all, especially, listener, if you're someone who has not weighed yourself in a long time, feeling great, feeling kick-ass, and you just, I wonder what I would weigh right now. I have a feeling that you have had that thought before, especially if you haven't weighed yourself in a long time. When you have those pulls, instead, I would encourage you to find and connect with non-diet ways to stay grounded. Those diet culture solutions of weighing yourself, just eating healthier, logging your food, counting something, those are all ways, symbolically, that diet culture is providing you a way to stay grounded. But we know it's not actually helping you stay grounded. It's taking you away from yourself. So instead, I would encourage you to find non-diet ways to stay grounded. There are many. And I have a feeling that there's some things that you know to be true for yourself that are coming forward that help you stay grounded. And it may mean stepping outside, feeling the cold ground on your feet and breathing in the fresh air. It could mean noticing your hunger and fullness cues, noticing what satisfies you. It may be feeling your heartbeat putting your hand on your chest and feeling your heartbeat. It may be noticing your breath. These are all things that help us stay in the moment, stay present, and stay grounded. Okay, so that's when the change is exciting. I'm going to flip-flop it now. This is for when the change is sudden or unexpected. There can be, in anyone's life, sudden changes, things that you didn't see coming. I'm imagining if you've been fired or lost a job, a sudden death in your family or a friend, or maybe just someone you knew so long ago, but you all of a sudden see everyone talking about this person you used to know on Facebook because they died. Or it could be infidelity or something like that in a relationship. When folks have experienced these types of changes, what I noticed is this is when diet culture would pull someone to the gym or nudge a person towards a weight loss challenge. And that makes sense to me. And again, I think diet culture is fucking sneaky and smart, because when we join a gym or a weight loss challenge or something like that, it's a way to connect with folks. And I think in our culture, at least in the culture where I am experiencing my life, those are places that oftentimes can help feel connection and support. The thing that I really hate about diet culture is, you know, those places like gyms or weight loss challenges, they may provide support, but they also are a recipe for disconnection from your food voice. There's nothing wrong with gyms. There's a lot wrong with weight loss challenges. I will fight you on that one. But using just those as your means of support has been the opportunity for many people to get a huge wedge put in between them and their own food voice, to start an eating disorder or to really complicate one's relationship with food. It won't feel complicated in the beginning. It'll feel real, real cozy. It'll feel nourishing. It'll feel like, again, like a cliche you would like witness in a movie where someone is experiencing an unexpected breakup and there was infidelity. And so they joined a gym, did a weight loss challenge, and now they have the quote revenge body or whatever crap like that. I shouldn't minimize it, calling it crap like that, because I know for many folks, that's how they got through it. And also how their complicated relationship with food was born. So when you feel the pull to join a gym or join a weight loss challenge after experiencing a sudden or unexpected kind of change, I encourage you to lean on support instead. This is probably going to mean reaching out for help. That's why I think a gym or a weight loss challenge is just more accessible and also encouraged in our society, where leaning on support is shamed. It's looked down upon. Fucking hate it, because leaning on support is how we get through change. All right, so let's go through to the last one. The third change was one that was unexpected, when the change was expected and sad. For many folks I know, grief can lead to a loss of appetite or a compulsion to overextend. That may be in movement or exercise, making food from scratch. It may mean like doing everything for everyone else. When you're experiencing change that was unexpected, I keep saying it the wrong way. When you experience change that was expected, it's important. It's an important difference. When the change was expected and yet sad, when you notice your appetite weaning, it's just going away, or you're feeling that compulsion to overexercise or to make everything from scratch, here's what I would encourage you to think about instead. Stock up on shelf stable, easy to prepare meals and snacks. What diet culture likes to do is encourage that loss of appetite and also to reward that overexercise, making food from scratch, because, you know, overexercise is something that is kind of like the other one where a lot of times people are given like high fives and encouraged to exercise because they notice their body's changing. Or making food from scratch has lots of moral accolades to it. You know, it's kind of something that folks will think that's like a very pious act to like, I'm just going to make all the food from scratch. And what I would encourage you to do instead is be sure you have enough food around. And instead of meal prepping, like diet culture likes to talk about it, I would encourage you to meal prep to make sure you have enough, that there's plenty of food. This type of change for many folks led to not enough being around, that they overextended themselves for everyone, so there was nothing left for themselves. And having a loss of appetite at the same time just further enhanced that. So this, again, is another time where you may have to ask for help. And it may include help preparing meals. I know for a lot of folks, when they've experienced a change that was expected and sad, folks will offer to give them meals and often turn them down. So this is where I would encourage you to be more okay with getting help. Even if it feels not quite perfect, let people help you. You may also find when the change was expected and sad that you may need to do a little bit of all the ones I just mentioned. You may need a combination of all of them. No matter the type of change that you experience, there is a seduction of hope with dieting, whether it's food or exercise based. And that seduction, it can provoke this like pang of relief that you so need, whether it's a positive or negative change. Again, I just have to say that because sometimes intense feelings, no matter whether they're positive or negative, they can be a lot. So diet culture's seduction, it can provoke just this pang of relief, a hit of dopamine. But the consequence, there is a big consequence in this. There's this wedge then between you and your voice. So if you are in the place in life when you know a change is coming, or you notice a change just happened, whether you liked it or not, I encourage you to look out for that wedge. It's coming. It is coming. And being aware that it's coming is one of the best things you can do. And if you miss it, notice when the wedge arrives. Just notice what provoked it, what was happening around that time. If you didn't even see it coming, oh, my heart breaks for you. I know this is a hard spot, but when that wedge is firmly in place, please be compassionate for yourself. This is when you need that more than anything else. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed this meditation, and I look forward to connecting with you next week. This episode was brought to you by the Decode and Demystify PCOS Carb Cravings free training. Get to all the details at bit.ly/PCOS Carb Cravings. And if you enjoyed this episode, we are so grateful. Everyone at the Find Your Food Voice team is so grateful that we can connect with you and help you stay connected to your own food voice, whatever it takes. And if you leave a rating or review, that always helps more people find us, especially subscribing and sharing the episode does as well. So we'll see you next week. And until then, listen to your voice, even when it shakes, especially then. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, and this is the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Ready to join the anti-diet movement and take the Food Voice Pledge? Go to julieduffydillon.com and sign your name to the growing list of people saying no to diets and yes to their own food voice. The Find Your Food Voice podcast is produced by me, Julie Duffy Dillon, and my team of kick-ass folks. I couldn't make the show without Yelly Cruz, assistant producer and resident book fiend, and Colleen Bremner, customer service coordinator and professional hype master. Audio editing is from Toby Lyles at 24 Sound. Music is Fly Free by Hartley. Are you looking for episode transcripts? Get them at julieduffydillon.com, where you can also submit letters for the podcast, give us feedback, and sign the Food Voice Pledge. We need your voice to end diet culture. We literally can't do this without you. Subscribe to the Find Your Food Voice podcast to get weekly inspiration and education on how we can defeat diet culture and reclaim our own food voice. I look forward to seeing you here next week for another episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Take care.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.